भूल जाएंगे हर हम तेरा न भूलेंगे, करबला न भूलेंगे, करबला न भूलेंगे।
इंशाल्लाह for the shifa and the well-being of the sister who was injured today, and also the mu'mineen and mu'minat. And inshallah, as we have been discussing, also for the imam of our time, shall we recite five times Amma Yujib, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will cure those who are sick, who are ill, and inshallah, hopefully he will hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ صلى على محمد وعلى آله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم وبه نستعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي جعل الحمد مفتاحا لذكري وسببا للمزيد من فضلي ودليلا على آلائه وعظمتي. والحمد لله الذي هدانا لولاية إمام زماننا وآبائه الطاهرين. ثم صلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض أإله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل.
First and foremost, I give my condolences to all of you on the shahadat of Imam Hussein, the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, his family, his companions, and also my condolences for the captives of Karbala, Zainab al-Kubra, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Baqir, Sukaina, Ruqayya, all of the orphan children of Karbala. In this final majlis, inshallah, we will conclude our discussion, which we began focusing on verse 62 of Surah An-Naml, chapter 27 of the Quran, verse 62, where we often recite Amma yujibul muhtar idha da'ahu yakshifu su. This verse, which the Imams and also the Prophet said, this is about the Imam of our time. But he is the one who is waiting, he is in need, he is the one who will recite this dua when he comes, stating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is the one who has answered the prayers. He has answered the prayers of all of those who are in need, and we are the ones who are definitely in need of the Imam of our time. We began by discussing verse 59 of the surah, of Surah An-Naml, which was the pretext to this particular verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he introduced five verses that begin, Amman, is he not the one? Is he not the one? He introduced these verses saying, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ, that say praises, all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give your salutations upon the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is chosen. And then he went into start with his tawheed. Is he not the one who has created this earth? Is he not the one who has created the heavens and the earth and brought down for you water, the basic, the essential thing of life? Is he not the one who has created this earth and made it stable for you? Created within it gardens and trees? Is he not the one who answers your prayers when you call upon him? Is he not the one who has guided you in the darkness of the night? And then he ends, or he's concluding this, these verses, these series of verses, with أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْكَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ. Is he not the one who has begun the creation, and he will return this creation back to himself? وَمَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And he is he not the one who has given you sustenance from the heavens and from the earth? Ma Allah, is there any God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Qul. If someone is making that claim, then say, tell them, Hatu burhanukum in kuntum sadiqin. Bring your proof, if you're truthful. As we begin this Muharram, just to kind of bring our discussion to a conclusion, as we stated that it is not befitting that we come and we just listen to the majalis of Muharram, hear the mourning and the sadness of the Shahadat of Imam Hussein, but we gain nothing from it. Our objective is to take inspiration from these majalis. And this is something that Imam Hussein alayhi afsalatu wasalam himself, he stated, which he alludes to. He says, أَنَا قَتِيلُ الْعَبَرَ, as we mentioned, I said, that I am the one who has died, the one who has given his life, such that tears pour from the eyes of people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُنِي مُؤْمِنٌ إِلَّا اسْتَعْبَرَ. And no believer mentions me, except for that he heeds or he gains some sort of lesson from that. One of the lessons that we gain and that we understand is that the loyalty, the devotion that we should have to the Imam of our time. As the companions of Imam Hussein, they had loyalty and devotion to Imam Hussein. That though they were facing sudden death, inevitable death, they would not leave Imam Hussein. They were loyal to Imam Hussein. This is one of the lessons that we must learn from Karbala. And in pretext of these verses that speaks about the Imam of our time, that speaks about, again, the blessing of the imamate, the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that wilayat or placed in authority his servants, the Prophet of Allah, and thereafter Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, until the Imam of our time. That these verses, it speaks about that blessing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in each and every time, he says, A'ilahun ma'Allah, is there any God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there anyone else who can present an authority, present a guide, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented in the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afsalatu wassalam. So in a sense also, with regards to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with regards to, again, the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, this question stands, or قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْحَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, that bring your proof if you're truthful. Because the sacrifice that the Ahlul Bayt made, the sacrifice that all of our Imams have made, is because of that. La ilaha illallah, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for themselves, not for their own position, but for La ilaha illallah, for the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And within our discussion, we entered into a topic which was, I think, over the last few days, even after the Majalis, we had several discussions about that. And that is about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power over that creation. And whether this creation has evolved in such a way that some have explained evolution, or is it this creation has come into being simply by Allah saying be and it will be His creation. Be, or He's fashioned these things without any maybe genetic connection or not. And this is one of the things we said, that as Muslims, as those who are following the path of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's given us many indications of things. The Imams have given us, the Prophet and Imams have given us many indications of things, so that we can go and we can reflect upon these things. Reflect upon these things and understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, if there's any understanding of evolution or creationism, whatever, that removes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fact of, then of course that is something that we do not accept. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is there, He has created the creation in order to evolve in a certain way. Allahu a'lam. But all of these things, nonetheless, when we look towards these things, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He pointed out in all of these verses, look to the sky, look to the heavens, look how this earth has been created. Look at all the blessings that comes from this earth. And He says, and you cannot even create one tree. You're not able to create one tree. And all of these are from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then He asks, A'ilahun ma'allah? Is there any God aside from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts these forth. The Prophet and Imams, they put this forth so that we can go and we can look into these things and understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we see in our past. Some of our scholars, some of our ulama, they've looked into these things. They've taken these indications within the Quran, they've taken these indications within the hadith, in order to build upon it, in order to discover it, in order to, again, understand the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't need to just simply remember the past and glorify that, oh yes, these scholars have done it, and we ourselves do not take these indications and move forward ourselves. Because when we look at the history of Islam, when we look at the history of Muslims, that yes, we were at the forefront of science, at the forefront of discovery. But this is change. And part of that change is because, again, we have not held ourselves to that source that we should hold ourselves to. And that is the Quran, and that is to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afsalatu wassalam and their teachings. Taking their teachings, taking their statements and building upon that. But those scholars who have done so, then we see that they have done amazing things. One of the scholars, just as an example, is Sheikh Baha'i, who was from Ba'labak, lived during the time of the Ottoman period, and because the Ottomans were very strict or against and impressive against the Shia, especially in Lebanon. So Sheikh Bahai, he left from Lebanon and he went to Iran during the Safavids. So he took refuge there, lived in Isfahan. Sheikh Bahai, he was known as a faqih, he was a jurist, very well read in Islamic jurisprudence. In the hadith, Sheikh Bahai was a mathematician. In fact, one of his books that he has written, unfortunately is lost, but he actually proved, or at least this was one of the books that he that is written and has said about this book, that he proved the existence of a divine being, of God, mathematically. Mathematically. Using mathematics. Sheikh Bahai, he lived during the time, I think his birth was 1547, he died in 1621. But when we look at the things that Sheikh Bahai left behind, you see that this individual, he had a knowledge that, again, that you would not think that someone would have during his time. One of the things that he developed actually in Isfahan is a dome that sits upon the Jami Masjid. And this dome is actually an earthquake-resistant structure. This is 16th century, 17th century. So at that time he was developed earthquake-resistant structures. And we look at the so-called modern world, when did this technology come about? This was in the hands of the Muslims, 16th century. Probably 16th century, 17th century. Minar Jamban. Minar Jamban. This is also another, again, you could say almost earthquake-resistant structure as well. Amazing, the two minarets, they stand, they have absolutely no physical connection between them. Except for there are bricks that are laying between, but there's nothing connecting the two minarets. You shake one, the other shakes. Where did Sheikh Bahai understand this from? What is he using as his source of knowledge? And this is someone who was very well read in the hadith of Ahlul Bayt. He himself has written books on hadith of Ahlul Bayt, 40 hadith. But again, he looks towards the statements of Ahlul Bayt, he looks towards the Quran, and then he was indulging and studying and building upon that knowledge. And we have to, as Muslims, we have to return to that. Don't think that, the hadith are outdated, the Quran. No. There's great knowledge in it. But we have to discover it. There's a lot of indications, but we have to go to those things, read them, contemplate them, and build upon that. With that said, I'll focus a bit on the last verse, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states, أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُ. Is he not the one who has brought this creation into existence and he will return it to him? This idea of مَبْدَأ and ma'ad, that we have a clear beginning and that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is by the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will return back to that creator. And this is a question, again, that we all reflect, we all think about. The whole debate of evolution, creationism, it's about that. Where have we begun? Sometimes they don't deal too much with, okay, well, where are we going to end, but where we will begin. In Surah Al-Qaf, chapter 50 of the Quran, verse 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least with regards to the creation itself and the beginning of this creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states, أَفَعَيِّنَا بِالْخَلْقِ الْأَوَّلْ بَلَهُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِنْ خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Because have they thought that we are tired or that we are unable to make a new creation? Many lives sometimes, you know, think that, is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once this world ends, He creates a different world, perhaps with different sets of physics, and those sets of physics, when we think about that, it's those in the hereafter. Just one example, that they say one of the punishments of the hell is that those who lie, that they will be hung by their tongues. Something that is physically impossible in this world. If you try to hang someone by their tongue, the weight of the body will pull the body down. But in the hereafter, as we learn from the Mi'raj of Rasulullah, that this will happen. So is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create a different world with a totally different set of physics, different set of reality? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, perhaps some think that we're not able to do this, or that we have become tired, that it took so much work just to create this world that they're living in, that it's not possible to create another world. Allah says, بَلْهُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِنْ خَلْكٍ جَدِيدٍ. He says, but rather they are confused and they are so tied up with this new creation itself. When Imam Baqir alayhi wa salatu wa salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ali.
He was asked, what is the meaning of this? That Allah is saying that we have become tired, or some think that we are, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not able to create this new creation, and we're in confusion about this creation itself, this new creation. Imam Baqir alayhi wa salatu wa salam, he stated, and this is a riwayat, is in multiple places, the contents of this hadith, also we find in one of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So multiple narrators, also from the Prophet, from Imam Baqir, also from Imam Sadiq, and some of the other Imams. But I'm bringing this on one hand because of one of the discussions we had about mankind itself, that are we the first of beings or human beings that have walked this planet? And this verse, according to Imam Baqir, says it proves that no. At least what he's saying, what the meaning of this verse is. So he states that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِذَا أَفْنَى هَذَا الْخَلْقِ وَهَذَا الْعَالَمِ وَأَسْكَنَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ جَنَّةِ وَأَهْلِ النَّارِ نَارِ جَدَّدَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَالَمًا غَيْرَ هَذَا الْعَالَمِ. He says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He destroys this earth, that when this age of ours, this era of ours that we know of, when it comes to an end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will create another world. He says, and He will create another world. And this is after the people who are in the paradise, they will be in paradise. After those who are determined to go to hell, they will go to hell. He will create a new world that is other than this world. Then he states that, again, it's a very long hadith, so I'm just summarizing. Then he states that He will create men and women in that world as well. And he says, وَخَلَقَ لَهُمْ أَرْضًا غَيْرَ هَذِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And He will create for them an earth. He will create for them a planet that is other than this planet. Continuing, etc. وَسَمَاءً غَيْرَ هَذِهِ السَّمَاءِ. And a atmosphere, a sky that is other than the sky. And he says, لَعَلَّكَ تَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّمَا خَلَكَ هَذَا الْعَالِمِ الْوَاحِدِ. He says, perhaps, and he's talking to his command, he says, perhaps you assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only created this world that you live in, this planet that you live in. Liverpool. Walam yakhluq basharan ghayrakum. And he has not created bashar, it means human. Or if we want to get very scientific, humanoid or human-like. He says, and you think that we have not created, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created a human and a humanoid other than yourselves? So, and this is, again, what a lot of people, they perceive, or at least sometimes some religious people, they think, this evolution is nonsense. But I'm not saying, yes, if it starts without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there's no cause of causes, then yes, we don't accept that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how did it come to be? This is something that we need to study, we need to look into. So you think that there was no creation of humans other than yourselves? Then the Imam, he says, Bal wallah. Whenever the Imam, whenever they swear, it is not light. He's swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Bal wallahi laqad khalaqa Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alf alim. Rather, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created 1,000 upon 1,000 worlds. 1,000 upon 1,000 worlds. Of course, in science, nowadays they say, yes, we're not the only galaxy. There are thousands and billions of galaxies out there. And this is something that now, again, modern science is saying that. But it is the hadith of Imam Baqir al-Nafusajusana. Over 1,000 years ago, he's mentioning this. But which of the Muslims have looked into this to even think that, or contemplate, or even try to discover, yes, is this the only galaxy? Is this the only planet? Is this the only livable planet? And then sometimes we hear from scientists that, this possibly is science, another planet, and then we think, this can't be, this is the only planet. No, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of all of the worlds. The multiple worlds that are even in our world today, the world that we know of creatures that live upon this land, the world of the undersea world, animals and creatures that live upon the sea, but even worlds that are perhaps that we can't see, that we haven't fathomed and comprehended. So thousands of years ago, Imam Baqir is mentioning this. This is like when Imam Ali alayhi wasallam, he says, Suluni qabla an tafqiduni, and ask me anything that my knowledge it reaches from the heavens to the earth. Ask me anything. But someone comes forward and says, how many hairs do I have on my head? SubhanAllah, what type of question is this? And here Imam Baqir said, Allah has created thousands upon thousands of worlds. Even today, one of the smartest individuals on the planet, this is what they call him, Stephen Hawking, he says that, and this is one of his statements, his quotes, he says, this mathematically, to his mathematical mind, that life on other planets than this does exist. It's possible. And he's saying this mathematically. But had we taken the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam, if we had studied their words, asked them better questions than just how many hairs do I have on my head? And this is something, again, it was at our hands, at our palms. This is something that, inshallah, as if we are living during the time of Imam Zaman Ajib Farid al-Sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
But one of the effects of that zuhur, the reappearance of Imam Zaman, is stated that when the Imam, he returns, says the intellect of man will increase 100-fold. And some of them says 1,000-fold, that the intellect of man will increase. So if we think that, oh, well, we've done great to, you know, put satellites in space or even imagine that there's possible life on other planets, that when our intellect, inshallah, increases a thousandfold, then what would that be like? What would we understand? What would we be able to discover and know about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But even before that, we still have at least this legacy of the Ahlul Bayt. It's a legacy of the Imams that, again, that has encouraged us to go and to look through these things. Understand the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the better that you understand the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the better you will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The better you will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Imam says that he swears by Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has created a thousand upon a thousand worlds. Wa alf alf Adam. And he's created a thousand upon a thousand Adam. Adam here is used as a man. So he's created a thousand upon a thousand. And alif, alif, whenever this is used in here, it means, again, it's a large number. Meaning that you cannot count them more than you can actually imagine. So alif, alif, Adam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created alif, alif, Adam. Thousand upon a thousand worlds and a thousand upon a thousand humans or Adams. SubhanAllah. So, again, to understand in our creation, our barakah, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as the Rasulullah, he stated once, he says that, yes, before you, at least before the Adam that we know of, Adam and Nabi that is spoken of in the Quran, that we understand as our father, the father of mankind, Hawa, the mother of mankind. He says, before this Adam, and alif alif Adam, there were a thousand upon a thousand Adam. Again, when the Prophet is saying this, or the Imam is saying this, does this not make us reflect and think? Does it not make us want to understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And really, and how much have we actually understood about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much have we, again, taken from the blessing, this ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in Rasulullah and his Ahlul Bayt alayhim afu salatu wa salam?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Or have we fallen short of truly benefiting from the Quran? Have we fallen short of truly benefiting from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afu salatu wa salam? Some who have rejected the Ahlul Bayt and they have fought the Ahlul Bayt. Some who perhaps have accepted the Ahlul Bayt and their guidance but are shaky upon their guidance, upon following the path of Ahlul Bayt. That when we see that thousands of years ago that the Imam is giving us such knowledge, and where have we reached to? What have we gained? Yeah, that brings in the question, but how much have we really followed the Ahlul Bayt? How much have we really devoted ourselves to the Ahlul Bayt? How much have we really taken heed of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Where he describes himself and his Ahlul Bayt that they are like the tree, like a root, like a tree that grows in this dunya. And the Prophet says, "Ana asluha wa aliyu faruha." That I am the roots of that tree, and Ali is the branches, meaning again the Ahlul Bayt in their entirety. And he says, "Tuba li 'abdin tamassaka bi asliha wa akala min far'iha." That good tidings is to that servant who clings to the roots, who hold on to those roots. And it is shajaratun nubuwwah. And he eats from the branches of that root, that tree. Again, we need to benefit from the knowledge. To remain steadfast upon the path of Rasulullah, and to benefit, again, from the knowledge of Rasulullah and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam. So we have to question that, how much have we held fast to the roots of the Ahlul Bayt, to Islam, to our deen? How much have we, again, benefited and taken from that knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salam? Karbala is a testimony to that, that how some have held fast, actually, and how some have separated themselves from that tree. So the Imam, he states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once again, he's under oath by the swear that he has created a thousand upon thousands of Adam. He says, وَأَنْتَ فِي آخِرِ تَلْكَ الْعَوَالِمِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ الْآدَمِيِّينَ. He says, and you're in the last of those worlds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And you're in the last group of those humans that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He has created. And understanding this, that we are perhaps in the final world of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. But if you wanted to, yes, you will create again after this. It's in His power, it's in His ability. But just understanding that, yes, perhaps this is the last of worlds, that perhaps we are the last of beings or humans. On one hand, that puts a great responsibility upon our shoulders. Again, a great responsibility to understand truth, to understand right from wrong, to understand justice from injustice. It's a huge responsibility on our shoulders. And that's, again, understanding this, it puts into perspective for us, or at least it should put into perspective for us, the question of the angels, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created Adam, this Adam that we know from the Quran, there is our forefather, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, He says, are you created, the angels ask, are you creating in this earth a being that is going to shed blood, who is going to become corrupt when we as angels, that we praise you? This is because the angels, they knew, they saw those creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what they did. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, that in me, that I know what you do not know about this creation, about the offspring of this Adam. That's in the final of worlds, that it is in the last group of human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you do not know. These are angels that do not deviate from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it puts a very weighty responsibility upon our shoulders that, again, are we going to live up to that claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made to His angels, that I know what you do not know. I know that among this offspring of this Adam, there will be individuals who are great. And of course, you know, it reflects upon the Prophet of Allah and his Ahlul Bayt, but even those who follow in the path of Rasulullah is Ahlul Bayt. This is another reason why we come and we commemorate and we mourn for the Shuhada of Karbala. Yes, Imam Hussein, he's ma'soom, he has given his life, but there are others in that battle. Again, we don't say, oh, well, they're one of the ma'soomeen. No, but these individuals, they walk in the footsteps of the ma'soomeen. These individuals, they shape their lives after the lives of the ma'soom, after the imam of their time. And this is why even the imams themselves, they stated that there will be no companions like the companions of Imam Hussein. That these companions, again, if you want to at least understand the level of those companions, is a statement that was quite often stated about Salman Farsi. Where the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
He said, Salman minna Ahlul Bayt. That Salman is from us, from the Ahlul Bayt. Meaning that his level, that his closeness to Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt is as if he is from the Ahlul Bayt, as if he is one of the Ahlul Bayt. And this statement is also given about some other companions. One also about Abu Dhar. Another companion that is given about is Abu Hamza al-Thamani. That Imam Sadiq alayhi wa sallam, he stated that, and he's talking to some of his companions, he says, if you want to know who Abu Hamza al-Thamani is, he says, Abu Hamza al-Thamani he says, fi zamanihi huwa mithlu Salman fi zamanihi. So Abu Hamza Thamali, in his time, he is like the Salman Farsi of that time. Meaning that Abu Hamza Thamali, minna Ahlul Bayt. He's from among the Ahlul Bayt. Meaning that he fashioned his life like the life of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. Again, if you want to understand that further, I request just read the dua of Abu Hamza Thamali. Don't read it, normally we read it in Ramadan and we read it and we go past it. Oh, it's a customary read it. No, read the dua of Abu Hamza Thamali and understand, reflect and contemplate the dua of Abu Hamza Thamali. That what is this dua? What is being said in this dua? And then we'll understand that truly that who are these individuals who, again, we say that these are the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. We understand what the Shia of Ahlul Bayt are. We understand it in Salman Farsi, Abu Dhar, Abu Hamza Thamali. We understand that in the campaigns of Imam Hussein, that who are the Shia of Ahlul Bayt? That we are here to take example for them. It's not to give an excuse, and I've heard this before, oh, well, we're not ma'soom. Yes, we're not ma'soom. But neither was Salman Farsi. At least they were not ma'soom that we categorize him as one of the ma'soomin. Neither was Abu Hamza Thamali, that by following the Ahlul Bayt, they reach a station where they are among the Ahlul Bayt. Or they reached a station that even Imam Sadiq alayhi wasallam, he had stated about the Shia. He says, "Sara Shi'atuna ma'asuman bina." He says, by virtue of us, then our Shia have been ma'asum. Meaning that if you walk in the steps, footsteps of Ahlul Bayt, if you live your life like the life of Ahlul Bayt, then yes, you reach that station where the Imam will say that, yes, huwa minna Ahlul Bayt. That you're from among the Ahlul Bayt. That you are the true Shia of Ahlul Bayt. And this is why, again, we remember the Shuhada of Karbala. That perhaps we can reach such a station. That we can be, again, among the examples of Ahlul Bayt. And I'll just give this one story of one of the students of Hauza, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon his soul. Someone who, again, he was a good friend of mine. I knew him well. Actually, we had the same name. His name was Dafa, but he was from Thailand. So our friends, they would distinguish us. They would say, oh, Dafa Ameriki, and this is Dafa Thailandi. Allah have mercy on his soul, he passed away. But this individual, he is one that, again, you know, I remember him because, again, I remember him as, at least for myself as an example, that when we were students in Qom, that he would